Hey, what's going on, DFS World? What's going on, baseball, MLB, everyone in tune to the fantasy contest going on here shortly. I'm going to do a quick update. I haven't been on the podcast for a while. We got the slate tonight, 7 o'clock, 7:05 start for the games. Just going to go over a couple of things, just my vision on what things have been going on lately in baseball, what's been going on lately with just the trends and stuff like that. So last night, actually, if you was following from the night before, we had I have on my Twitter page again. I'm on twitter.com/LucenSports. Just following that Anaheim Angels game last night, it was just bombs away, man. Home run derby. We saw Trout go for 2 home runs. Cruz going for 2 home runs. Again, I mean, it's been the same old story. I guess, you know, pitching is not something that just evolves immediately. It's going to definitely be a process with certain teams, with their starting pitchers and their bullpen. We saw Haney definitely struggle with a lot of his pitches over the plate. Not a lot of movement at all on his pitches. Same thing for LeBlanc. I mean, we saw Trout take him deep there. And then Pujols, whose bat speed has definitely a slowdown, caught him for one over the, and both of them, ironically, straight, pretty much center to left center field. Trout definitely drove it up past 400 feet straight away, just put a charge into it. So we got the normal suspects here in the early games. We got the Boston and Baltimore. Again, if you guys been following me, you know, Baltimore, they look good when everything's going well, and when they're really bad, they're just really bad. They're in the dumps, you know. Basically, they're just very tired right now, man. A lot of long faces and droopy eyes. Buck Showalter looks very, very doesn't know what direction to take with his team right now, you know. One good spot of the game yesterday against against Toronto, you know, Bundy did pitch very well, but once again, when the pitching does step up, they don't get any run support. I mean, it's just like a seesaw effect with the team. Like, I don't understand what's going on with Crush Davis. He just looks like he's just out of it. Like, he doesn't want to play with the team anymore. You know, Manny got a much needed night off yesterday. Again, they're losers of their last 5. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. They're going to get, once again, in that division that they're in, it's to be in a slump, that's the worst division you want to be in a continuous slump. 25 games back of first place, just 19-46, just really, really bad for Boston. So who they have on the mound? They have David Hess, one of the young guys. You know, he had an outing against Toronto, pitched pretty good, 6 innings. Yeah, gave up 5 hits, had a long ball that hurt him. Had 4 strikeouts, pretty mediocre day. He had 15.3 fantasy points on DK. His ERA after that start is slightly over 3 at 3.07 as a right-hander. Fortunately for him, he doesn't have to deal with Mookie. Mookie Betts, he's out tonight. He did come back yesterday. He did get on base, and I think he had a stolen base. So he's coming back off his rehab. They're just going to bring him in slowly but surely. But again, the star at the top of that lineup, he's been second today. He's been in Tindy. I mean, the guy, if you watch him when he's swinging the ball, just, I mean, enormous bat speed. I mean, he's hitting everything with force, driving it to the gaps, down the line, utilizing all parts of the field. You're going to pay a lot for him if you're going to go with him, which is a righty versus lefty matchup. He's 5,700, and he got J.D. Martinez. I mean, you can't do any better than that. With J.D. Martinez, you get on base, and he got somebody can drive you in. So that middle of the order for Boston looks very good. As for Boston, and they have Eduardo Rodriguez. He's been pitching very good of late. He has a high salary because of the slumping factor of Baltimore. There, nothing is really working for them in their lineup right now. He's been over 20 fantasy points in his last 4 games. So Eduardo Rodriguez is pitching very good. This could be a trap game, though. I mean, Baltimore, they're at home. They are hungry. They're going to need a win. At home, they're 10-19. They got a little bit better record at home. On the road, they're 9-27. So, I don't really like the salary for him. I mean, he occasionally does give up home runs in his games, and this is a team that can slug. They do have sluggers up and down their lineup, even though their metrics isn't showing that well this year. But if they get hot in this game and they get a little camaraderie and a little euphemism up and down their lineup, somebody gets on and get on top of this guy, it could be a real waste of a buy for 11,100 for him. He's not a really high particular strikeout pitcher. He's not like a Scherzer or anything like that, or Strasburg or Charlie Morton or anything like that. To be saying he's 11,100, he does get K's, but I mean, he has one 10 strikeout game on the season against Texas back on the 5th, and he's had 5 against Detroit and 7-7-7. So 3 strikeouts of 7 Ks or more in his last 3 out of 4 games, and then 1-5. So that's what's been helping him get over the 20 fantasy point. And he's been going at least consistently 5 to 6 innings and giving at least 100 pitches. So that's what you're paying $11,100 for. You can roster him. You will believe that he will probably get some run support today with Martinez and Mitch Moreland. Got Bogarts, Benintendi. I mean, this team has shown they can win without bets. And this is an underachieving team. I don't see why they wouldn't come out and have some offense. If you want to go over the covers, which I'll do just to kind of help you out, they have a 9.5 over-under. So even with this guy being 11,100, the over-under is high as hell. So with no bets in the lineup, who's getting nine-plus runs today between these two teams? It's must going to be a demolish for Hess on the mound. He's going to have to probably give up 4 to 5 of those runs if he gets messed over in one inning. So getting there on the road. So Boston is on the road. Their record on the road is very good. 23-11. They have 22-11. They have one less loss as opposed to home. Home, they're 23-11. So, very interesting game. They're tied with the Yankees. And as we know, the Yankees have a huge game tonight. They're going up against the Nationals. So, just to kind of follow up on that Boston before we move on, I'm going to just do kind of a quick little 15-minute, 20-minute rundown. Just kind of get updated with everything. You can definitely roster Manny if you want to. Machado, he didn't do much in that Baltimore series at all. He had some good hits. That Toronto series, he had some good hits. He just hit him to people. I mean, they have a very good outfield in Toronto. Pilar playing outfield, very speedy. Teoscar Hernandez, Grichik, those guys can hawk. They can get to the ball. It was very tough defensively for them to get anything going. They hit a lot of balls to the third base side. I mean, it was really, really just a transgression series for Baltimore. They had no luck, nothing going their way. So, I mean, Manny, a lot of people have been playing him and been paying a lot of money for him and haven't got much production out of him out of the last 4 or 5 games. No home runs, no doubles, no triples. So he's got to get it going. He does. Hopefully the law of averages proves to be on his side today, going against Eduardo Rodriguez. In his career, he's only hitting .194 against him, and he has 2 doubles, 6 hits and 31 tries, and 3 walks. Again, no home runs against Rodriguez. So proceed with caution before you buy up for him. The metrics doesn't show much. If you just want to play him because who he is and them needing to really show up tonight at home, that could be a deciding factor to go with Manny, okay? As for everybody else, young man Trey Mancini, he showed some power a couple games ago. He did go deep. He is one of the long spots that has been hitting with force. Scope did go deep in one of the games. Both of them are kind of banned towards the end. I'm not certain why Showalter has Mancini batting 5th. Put him back at the top of the order, man. I mean, you need somebody who can get on base and is disciplined at the plate, at least. He got Joey Rickard. I mean, I'll put Craig Gentry at the top of the order. I mean, the guy's a speedster. He has great speed. Not certain what's going on with Joey, but They got him at the top of the lineup today. So, all righties. Rodriguez, he's going to face all righties today in that lineup. I don't like that. I don't like his salary. And I don't like him going up against a team that can wake up at any moment. So, I will actually proceed with caution with Eduardo today. As for Washington and the Yankees, you got Tanner Roark going up against, again, the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, Batters Park, as we know. Tanner Roark is a righty, so that kind of helped him a little bit, not by much, but I sat there and I watched that last game of the Mets series. Very good game. He was pitching all the way up. Lugo, he pitched a great game against them. They didn't want to get swept in that third game, and they brought the A game. You know, they were able to get a home run from Todd Frazier. He helped them out a lot, and the bullpen came in and did very good. And that was a much needed win for the Mets at that time against a tough team. Roark, again, he kind of gets in his little spots. Of transgression, start walking people and so on. He loses control. Can't afford to do that against the Yankees. Can't really afford to make any mistakes against the Yankees. All the lefties are good veterans here. Gardner, Bird, Gregorius. Gardner had opportunity with some runners on in that Mets series to bring some runners home. I think Andrew Jarre and Judge was on base, and He end up flying out. So I think Gardner's looking for a little revenge. Hopefully he can get the movement started for the Yankees at the top of the order. I like him. He's one of my favorite players in that lineup. Doesn't get a lot of focal point, but he's very disciplined. He's a hard out. Runs hard, plays hard in the outfield. He's just whatever Yankee representative you can think of as for representing that organization. He exemplifies that. Don't need to talk about Judge. I like Bird. Bird, you know, he's a sneaky play. He has power. He can hit to both sides of the field. Then you got Stan behind him and Didi. Didi looking to wake up at any moment to just have a big breakout game. Roark's going to have some issues today. And then he's in Yankee Stadium on top of that. As for the whole consensus and everything, let's see if we can pull that up real quickly. I don't have that one here in front of me. I'm actually on covers, but I don't see the markups for the Yankees game. But I would pretty much think that they would probably be favorites today against Washington. All right. You can definitely roster some bats out of that game. You know, they got the whole usual stuff. CC on the mound. CC's not going to probably go that long. You got Eaton back at the top of the lineup. And Murphy, with it being an American League game, he's going to DH for the first time. So you can get Danny Murphy at 4,100. We all know people who play DraftKings and fantasy, he's normally easily over $5,000. So it is a lefty against lefty. But Danny Murphy does pretty good against left-handers. Let's look at something real quick. Let's look at that Washington team very quickly. I want to look at this. And against the bats, he has four at-bats, hasn't done anything against him. So definitely want to look at that. Let's look at another player you always have to look out for is Anthony Rendon. Anthony Rendon's in the middle of that order. Right now, in June, he's hitting .219, no home runs, has 7 hits and 32 at bats. Don't see any stats for him right now against Sabathia. He's doing pretty good against the Yankees, though. Right now, he has 2 at bats. In those 2 at bats, he has a 2.00 slugging and 2.50 OPS. So he has a homer and one hit. Looks like he likes the whole competition thing against the Yankees. So lefty versus righty. I mean, if Turner gets on, Adam Harper, Rendon is in a great spot right there. A really good spot. Banforth is one of my favorite players in that lineup. So I do like Rendon. I like pretty much everybody in the Yankees lineup. Don't really trust any of the pitching in that game. So Colorado and Philly, I already looked at this. Heavy favorites are the Philly today because of Nola on the mound. Right now, it's a 70% consensus for Nola, and they're minus 142 on the money line. And John Gray, the right-hander, is going for Colorado. Again, Philly is at home. We know they're still chasing the Braves and the Nationals. There's dead heat tied at the top of the National League East. Philly's three games behind. Very important game for them. If we look at that lineup very quickly, you got John Gray, the right-hander there. Cesar Hernandez, speedster at the top of the order. He's one. Cesar Hernandez is not going to help you with anything. He's going to take his pitches, one of the best leadoff hitters that are patient enough and will take a walk. You see Rhys Hoskins coming back. He did get a homer. And his day coming back from that jaw injury he had that first game back, he went yard. So, very good group of young guys. They got Carlos Santana right there banging cleanup. He is banned from his power side, the left side. Just looking at the consensus of why they're favored is definitely because of the pitching and the matchup of the lefties in this lineup. Cesar Hernandez, Odubel Herrera, I did roster him one time over the last couple of days. Didn't do very well. Let's look at Philly, and let's look at Herrera real quick, and let's see what we can come up with. Against Gray, not much. I mean, he has 8 at-bats, 1 hit. You know, he had drove in a run and got 1 walk, so... let's look at Cesar Hernandez. Well, I'll definitely look at him. He's going to be a very important part. Again, he's had just a triple, only 6 at bats. He did get a hit. It was a triple, and he has 2 walks. So, not a lot of bats, you know, in that lineup. I don't really want to judge off of that, but I do like the matchup of Philly going up against Gray. And the over-under in that game is 7. They don't really see a lot of offense in that game. So choose wisely. It is a game where if you do roster somebody, you may want to roster someone that can hit to both sides of the field. Does have power. And it looks like Charlie Blackmon will probably be that. Or maybe roster somebody that has multiple assets that can hit to different parts of the field and that can steal bases. So Cesar Hernandez is that person. So I like Cesar Hernandez, definitely like Carlos Santana. I do like Charlie Blackmon. We know LeMahieu is one of the higher batting averages in the league. It is a righty on righty, and let's kind of look at him very quickly. And that's Colorado. We're going to look at... let's look at LeMahieu. Hope I'm saying his name right. So, great average. I mean, in June right now, he's batting .302, 3 doubles. He has 13 hits and 43 at-bats, driven in 7. Very nice. Let's look at his splits. Right now, against right-handed, I mean, of course, he bats right. He's doing a lot better job against left-handers. Has a lot more bats versus right-handed, but still respectable. .682 OPS. His slugging is not that good against righties. .379 versus a .646 slugging versus left. Don't really have too many metrics against Philly at this time, but again, in night games, he does better at night. His average is .304, .878 OPS, and a .513. So, for who he is and what he's batting, who's coming behind him, he can do some damage up there, even though it's a righty versus righty. But I like Blackmon coming behind him and Arenado. Again, over-under is 7, so and the metrics are showing a lower. So you want to get somebody who's definitely bad for average. They can hold their own if you do roster somebody out of this. As for Nola, let's find out exactly what's going on with that. Because, I mean, we do know that Colorado does strike out a lot. That is a big part of what they do. Let's get there. Sometimes you just can't get caught up in the name. So, right now, doesn't have anything here, per se, show for that. I don't think he's faced him this year, so it'll be the first time. We just know he does have a great ERA. It's a 2.35 ERA, very high strikeout guy at times. And that's what Colorado does a lot. And his whip is very good, 0.96. One thing we can look at is his home metrics. He's undefeated at home, 5-0. In 41 innings pitch, he has only given up 31 hits, which is under the innings pitch mark, which is good. So he's giving up less hits than innings pitch at home. Has more strikeouts at home and less games started, which is 45. Great metrics all the way around. He's a righty. So even though some of the power guys like Arenado and Story, they're going to have to hit a righty, you know. And Blackman hasn't really went deep in a while. He is at 5,100. And he did go deep back on the 8th against Arizona, but before that he had a long drought. So, I mean, he's going up against a really good pitcher. Is it somebody he could probably do some damage against? Possibly. But, again, I would kind of fade this game offensively. I don't really see too much going on. I think both pitchers are pretty respectable. If you are going to follow somebody, I'll definitely follow and roster somebody who can definitely hit for average, which would be LeMahieu. I like Hernandez at the top of the lineup and Blackman. Other than that, you're kind of risking a lot of pain for other people in the lineup. Don't really trust too much people down the bottom of that order against Nola. Para and Desmond and Murphy, they strike out a lot also. I don't really see too much action down there. Same thing. I think Gray has a little bit of advantage against Kingery, Nick Williams, Alfaro, and Crawford. I see both pitchers doing pretty good. I don't really see them get up no more than maybe 2 to 3 runs each, but each getting at least 5 strikeouts or more. So we're also pitching with confidence and caution with the bats in that game. We got Toronto and Tampa Bay. Toronto, after coming off that 13-3 win against Baltimore, they didn't do well yesterday in the first game against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was ready for them. They had Gaviglio on the mound, and he got roughed up pretty bad. So Tampa Bay came across with a win. They're 5 under .500. They're 30-35 at home. They're 13-16 in a row, 17-19. So we know that their pitching, both teams' pitching, is very mediocre. Jaime Garcia, 5.57 ERA, not very good there. It's a 2-4 record. What we want to look at with a pitcher like this is his stats on the road. So on the road, it's not as good. He's 1-3, and 24 earned runs given up in 6 games started. 4 home runs. His average is against batters is .321, and then he's a lefty, not very good. Definitely I like Wilson Ramos. He was hitting the ball hard yesterday in that game, but just kind of hit it to people. I like the right-handers, man. Duffy, Ramos, Cron. I definitely like the bats in Tampa Bay today. If you want to definitely, let's see what we have here. Again, this is another game that they have an 8 over under. percentage consensus 56% for Tampa Bay winning and 44% for Toronto. Toronto is plus 100 on the money line, minus 110 for Tampa Bay. Very close game. It could kind of swing anyway because it's another bullpen day for Tampa Bay. Yesterday they had Yarbrough on the mound. He got roughed up pretty bad. Didn't get a lot of strikeouts like he normally does. Couldn't keep his ball down the strike zone. We saw Teoscar go deep yesterday. They didn't have Granderson yesterday, but he's back in the lineup. We saw him had a historic 6 RBI game the other day against Baltimore. On my previous podcast, I talked about how it starts with him at the top of that lineup, generating some offense, getting on base, creating havoc for the pitchers, getting an early double or whatever. It's just very talented guys coming behind him, and Solarte, Hernandez, and Smoke, Pilar, all those guys have great skill sets. So I see a lot of runs in this game again. I think they're going to battle it out. The game was kind of that way yesterday. It was an 8-4 win. It got out of hand at the end for Toronto. Tampa Bay rostered some runs there at the end. So, again, Toronto needs to continue to win. They're 600-500. They need to try to get below 10 games back as soon as possible before the All-Star break and continue to improve upon their pitching. And the young guy, Randall Grichuk, he is lights out. I mean, he's really working on his craft as a hitter. He's doing good in the outfield. I can see why he could probably be one to be the better guys in the clubhouse. Very, very good baseball player there. $3,500. He's been giving you a lot more for that $3,500 salary lately. You don't really know the game plan for Tampa Bay, but they pitching. They have Stanek out there on the mound. He's gonna probably give you an inning or two, and then he'll go into the bullpen once more. Again, Smoke looks good there. Solarte, Granderson. I see some offense in this game today, really. With Garcia not really pitching that well on the road, and Tampa Bay going into their bullpen again. Doesn't spell well for the pitching. Definitely roster batters with confidence in that game. Minnesota and Detroit. Got Hardy going for Detroit and Odorizzi. One thing to note in this game, Hardy is lefty going for Detroit. Detroit, we know that pitching is their Achilles heel also. And Odorizzi has been good. You know, he's very good with Tampa Bay. He had some injuries over the last couple of years. He still does foster his strikeouts from time to time. We still have not seen Miggy go deep yet since he's been back. I know some people have been kind of just plugging him in and hoping he has one of those two home run night games like we saw with Trout and Cruz, but he's not quite there yet. In his log, he didn't do anything against Cleveland in the last game they played on the 10th. He's fully rested. Hopefully he can come out and have a big game today. He's been, you know, giving you a little sum, but has not had a double digit game. Again, with that $4,000 salary, that's not a bad salary. He's banned behind two good hitters. Leonis Martin had a great game up in Boston. And Castellanos, who we know is one of the top leaders in batting average in the year. So, Odorizzi, he's not a pushover, but he can have some issues from time to time. He will try to challenge batters, and it can get him in trouble. He's been known to give up the home run ball. In the 31st of May, he gave up two against Cleveland, had a negative 6.4 in that game. And on the road against Seattle, he gave up two up there, too. So you don't want to kind of mess around with Detroit, that top of the order. He will give up that home run if he does not keep his ball down. As for the over-under, also in that game, they got a 9. Detroit is favored today, even with the lefty on the mound. Pretty interesting. And their record at home, let me not look at that one, but they're 21-16 at home and 10-20 on the road. So they play a lot better at home, right? Definitely can give Miggy a shot in this game. Give that top of the order. I like the top of the order right there going up against Odorizzi. The power guys, I think they have an opportunity to take him out. Martin and Cassiano. This guy Hardy, let's see how he's doing at home. Much better at home than on the road, which is good. That's a thumbs up. Undefeated, 2-0 at home. He's having a 3.66 ERA. Out of the 17 in his pitch, he's giving up 5 earned runs. And his whip is 1.15. Pretty good. And the batting average lower where it needs to be at .222. So, Minnesota lineup. Again, Dozier at the top. A dangerous guy there. Rosario, Escobar, all these guys, the top four can give Hardy easily problems, and that's why the over-under is 9. He's a $6,800 salary. He does pitch better at home like I just explained, but at the end of the day, Minnesota, they're not a bad team. As their record shows, they can put up runs. They're 6-4 in their last 10. Detroit is the opposite of that. They're 4-6. So a lot to be fined for. They do trail Detroit by half a game for that second spot in American League Central. So this is going to be a hard-fought game. A lot of scoreboard watching will be going on between those teams as both of these teams try to beat each other out. So Candelario has been a bright spot there. He's a switch hitter, so he will turn around to the left side against Odorizzi. And Victor Martinez can always be a surprise. I mean, he can easily take, he still has power. He doesn't hit for contact as much as he used to, but he can be a surprise first baseman. If you want to take a flag right there, that 2900, and turn him around to the left side against Odorizzi. I think Detroit does get the nod a little bit better with the hitting, but I do trust Odorizzi a little bit more for pitching. But overall, both pitchers are pretty still mediocre. I do see some home runs in this game giving up. Definitely, you can roster with caution with the pitchers and take the batters with confidence, a lot of confidence in that game. Better of the two, probably Odorizzi, because he can probably get strikeouts more than Hardy. So if he does give up 3 or 4 runs, he could probably get at least 5 or 6 strikeouts. As for Odorizzi, as an innings pitch, kind of on the Mendoza line, 5 against the White Sox. Got knocked out in that Cleveland game, 3.2. Seattle's 5.1. He stayed above float with 7.2, even though giving up the 2 home runs and 3 earned runs. And then 5.2 against Milwaukee. Good game against Milwaukee, but that one was at home. So him on the away is he's about half and half. He's a little bit worse on away, and he's a little bit better at home. Not by much, but a little bit better at home. Kind of even par. I don't really know what you're going to get out of Odorizzi right there with the thing. You know, he's an ERA at 4.24. High ERA. Whip is not bad, but he's giving 13.8 fantasy points on average. And I don't know if he's going to be able to get that today. So, it's probably a lot better of the plays with the team that he has to face and pitching on the road today than to take a risk on Odorizzi, okay? So, we got some other games here. We got a lot of games. Probably won't be able to cover them all. I'm just kind of go over the early games in case anyone's doing a turbo or anything like that. We got Folsy Nerich going against Zach Wheeler tonight. Another National League East showdown here. Again, the Mets are coming off a very important win against the Yankees. Not a lot of points in that game, but it was a 2-0 win for them. And again, they're 7.5 games back of Washington and Atlanta. At home, 13-21, they don't play very good at home, and they're 15-13 on the road. We do know Freddie Freeman loves playing in that park. He's had some good metrics up there. Definitely will say you can roster him against the right-hander Wheeler. They got Albies at the top of that order, Markakis, Flowers, Carmago, and Ciarte at the bottom there. Braves lineup looking very good. They're 76% consensus to win this game, over 24%. And the Mets over under is 8.5, a minus 148 on the money line for Atlanta. Pretty convincing. Atlanta playing 500 ball in their last 10, 5-5. And as we know, the Mets were struggling mightily before that win against the Yankees. They're 2-8 in their last 10. As for Wheeler, his splits against Atlanta, he hasn't had a game against them. I did see his last game against Baltimore. He did a pretty good job. Doesn't give up the home run ball too much in his last 2 games. Haven't given up the long ball. He is a long distance pitcher. He can get you 6+ innings, anywhere from an average of 6 to 7. And he normally more than often gets you his average. He's a 14.2. Pretty decent strikeout pitcher, averaging at least 5 to 7 a game. But Atlanta doesn't strike out that much. Don't really like him today against Atlanta. Atlanta actually playing here in Atlanta, they're playing here at home. So I do give the nod to Atlanta in that game. I do like the lefties, Freeman, Markakis, Carmago, and Ciarte, even Albies. He's going to have some problems against those guys batting left-handed today. Don't really see too much action out of the Mets. And Folsy on the mound has been lights out. That 11,800, it might be a little bit more than what people want to pay for. But it's high because the Mets just haven't really been doing much offensively. We saw a nice game against Chicago and Milwaukee yesterday. Expect another one. Chatwood against Anderson and the back end of their pitching rotation. I do see a lot of offense in this game. 9.5 over under. It's tough. It's 49% for the Cubs, 51% for Milwaukee consensus. We do know if you watched the game yesterday, there was a lot of Cubs fans at that game. Mixed atmosphere there. Cubs did pull it out 7-2 yesterday. Javi Baez had a lot to do with that. Hayward is hitting the ball very good to the opposite field. They 8-2 in their last 10, and Milwaukee is 4-6. They're losers of their last two. They definitely need to pull this game out. But with Chase Anderson on the mound, that's going to be kind of tough. I don't really know how that's going to happen. He has a high ERA. Fireworks in this one. I called fireworks in the last game when they played Pittsburgh in that day game. They didn't really go that way. But with Chase Anderson and Chatwood on the mound, and they got Thames coming back tonight. So offense in this game. Take the lefties into the lineup. Rizzo almost had one that went deep yesterday. Morris doing his job up there. Bryant is still lurking for his next home run. They got Baez down there at the bottom. Tough matchup today for Anderson. And Chatwood also. Travis Shaw looking good. Yelich. VR went deep the other day. I mean, a lot of offense in this game, man. So, definitely, you can do a stack. If you're in a single entry, you want to do a cup stack, definitely you can do that. You might even go contrarian and do a Milwaukee stack. So, you got Houston against Oakland. Got McCullers on the mound. Definitely like McCullers in that game. Houston bats have been lights out. Megden, he's a righty, and he hasn't done good. He's 0-2 against Houston. Hasn't been able to beat him. Giving up a couple of long balls. His whip is high, 1.44, 6.0 ERA. Definitely liking Houston on the West Coast today. We got Pittsburgh and Arizona. Buchholz, don't really trust him in that game tonight against Pittsburgh. I'm definitely liking Pittsburgh today. I got Ian Kennedy on the mound against Cincinnati. Cincinnati had a surprising win against St. Louis the other day when Carlos Martinez was on the mound. Just didn't do really well at all. So the Royals are probable winners. They're minus 105, not by much on the money line. A lot of offense in that game with Kennedy and Romano on the mound, and I go with that. I definitely, if you want to take some sneak contrarian bats out of a matchup where a lot of people may not have noble names, you can definitely go with that Kansas City and Cincinnati matchup. Scooter Gennett has a very good matchup against Ian Kennedy. He's one of the brighter spots as a hitter in the MLB. Votto has the power there. They got Schriebler at the top of the lineup. I mean, this might be a day, even though Kansas City is slight favorites, but this is a day where Cincinnati might go off for some runs. We saw them do that against Colorado in their matchup up there. Got San Francisco and Miami. San Francisco coming off a matchup with the Nationals. We saw McCutchen doing very good. He's heating it up, man. He's doing very good, man. I mean, 16 fantasy points last night. He had a dud against Washington the last game, but then the first two games he had 19 and 10, hitting the ball with authority. Once again, he's on the road, and they need to continue to keep pace. They got Chris Strand up there on the mound, pretty decent pitcher against Trevor Richards, both righties. Brandon Crawford hitting the ball very good once again. Panic at the top of the lineup. They got Dietrich at the top of the lineup. I like both of the leadoff hitters in those games. Boer, you want to keep a lookout for him with the power there in the fourth spot, banned from Miami, going against Stratton. definitely a sneaky game. Definitely a sneaky game there. Miami has been trying to improve a little bit, not by much, but they did win their last game. They put up 7 runs yesterday. And then San Francisco, they're 7-3 in their last 10, so they're moving up a little bit, trying to catch Arizona there. 3.5 Bumgarner. I didn't really like his salary yesterday, and I avoided him. He still has some work. He's a work in progress. Start out pretty good, but not the Bumgarner that we expected. As for the consensus in that game, Let's look at that real quick. They got Miami, huge underdogs. 28% people believing that they will win, 72% for the Giants. So I do agree the Giants will bounce back today. So I'll go ahead and let you guys roster your lineups. I see a lot of opportunities for offense tonight. It's about 10 minutes left. You do have that Texas and Dodgers game at in the late games. Don't forget about the late games. The late games are very important. And you saw with 230-point metrics with Trout and Cruz last night, that could definitely have bounced you out of qualifying. So if they are power in the late games, if they are bad pitching in the late game, don't lose sight of that. Roster some people out. I looked at Trout yesterday. I knew Trout had to be in my lineup. I had a great matchup going against LeBlanc. So we got Richards. Not Richards, I'm sorry. But they haven't really posted the lineups for that as yet. So maybe just look at the probables and then just take it from there, okay? So again, it's JB signing off. And thank you for listening to all my podcasts. And look out for many more. Have a good one.